Reiner Schog from TSN joins us. Sorry, are you in a windstorm or what?
Is this okay? I apologize. I ran a little late filing my story on Oilers today, and now I'm kind of racing across town to pick up my kids from school. So Bluetooth audio is what you get today. My apologies.
It's not bad. The Edmonton, like, one game does not make or break a season. I get it. You know what? Now, unfortunately, when you get humiliated on home ice against your provincial rival, who's only the 26th place team, who is perceived to not have as much talent as you, I understand why all the vitriol comes from the fans and everything. And you know, to me, it looks like there's still major issues within the organization. And I don't really see a quick fix happening, Ryan. Like, you look at it right now, do you honestly see any way this team is close to even competing for a playoff spot next year?
I think if they fix the problems they have on the blue line, Jason, then they've got a decent chance to make big-time improvement. I really do. I think that with decent goaltending and a better blue line, the core of forwards they have will be better from the start, and I think they'll be a more competitive team. But just saying fix the blue line, I mean, that's three or four words, but it's not nearly that easy. That's big time. That's like saying reattach a severed arm. I mean, the thing is, it needs to be redone. So if Craig McTavish can get some meaningful work done on the blue line, then, yeah, I do believe that they have a chance to be somewhat competitive just because they'll get some goaltending too. So I'm not going to sit here and say that there's no way they can turn it around, because I think we all know there's quality pieces in place, but there's some significant holes. If those holes get filled, we've seen it before. I mean, you know, Colorado turned things around fairly quickly by fixing up some stuff on their blue line and getting some goaltending. And so I'm not going to say they're light years away, because I don't think that's the case.
How come?
Why don't I think it's the case? Well, for the reasons I just said, I think that, look, this is a team that can be excellent or it can be awful. And their awful is as awful as anybody's awful out there. They have so many highs and so many lows, and there's no even keel with this team. There's no – most nights they come out and they have a real defined game that they can lean on to ensure that they are competitive. And they're all over the map still. That comes from a team that has struggled with consistency, and I think it comes from a team that really had its feet kicked out from underneath it on a lot of nights before they even got started earlier this year. So I just don't think they're that many pieces away from being significantly better, but they're important pieces, and it's all about the blue line to me.
Oh, yeah, and it's – I look at – I'm not sure how many – I think you probably need at least two top four defenders to turn this around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's not easy to just go get. You don't just sign those guys. I mean, by the sounds of it, Craig McTavish is somewhat willing to wait for development to happen in guy, but I don't see anybody developing into those roles in the next 36 months, so they need to go out and find guys, and that's going to be tough. But I think as far as forwards go, they got some reorganizing to do, and maybe whether Yakupov's in the picture or not, or Gagne or whatever the case, they have their core. They really do. Taylor Hall is a player you can build around. For sure he is. He's a franchise-quality player. And Jordan Eberle is a great complementary offensive player. They've got a couple of really good pieces. The back end is where this thing really needs to get fixed up.
Yeah, well, I think we understand where it is, but that's why I'm saying I don't see how it can be fixed in one summer. That's why I don't hold out a lot of hope that it can be that much better by next year.
Well, two top four defensemen in one summer trying to add that is a tall order. It absolutely is a tall order. Now, they have pieces. They have assets that could probably get them those things, but tougher to actually go out there and do it, to use those pieces and execute those deals. And we've seen that from Craig McTavish. It's easy to say. It's tough to go do. I mean, he chased the top three or four defensemen around the draft floor for the better part of 3 hours last year, doing a dance with the Philadelphia Flyers trying to squeeze Braden Coburn out of there, and it just never happened. So tougher to do than it is to say.
Reiner Schog from TSN joins us. Right. What did you make of, you know, I don't think it was a big issue, Akins and Hall, you know, guys disagreeing in the heat of the moment. I will say this, that when your coach looks that frustrated over, you know, tossing a bottle, that I wonder, you know, to me, man, you've had guys tossing pizzas up the ice all year long, and you hadn't seen that type of reaction. That's, to me, in the optics of an 8-1 loss, it was probably the worst possible timing.
Yeah, and I know you asked Alice that question today about kind of the timing in which he chose to be outwardly upset. This is what I'll say. I think that if you throw a water bottle and it breaks and you get your coat wet, probably expect to get yelled at a little bit. Accidental or not, if it's an accident, you probably need to make eye contact with him and give him a nod like, shoot, sorry about that. So my bad. But if you don't do that and the coach is left standing there wet, looking down the bench at you and you're just staring off, I mean, you're going to get yelled at. That's just the way it goes, right? So I don't have a problem with Dallas getting mad at what happened. I think that if he just did nothing and hunkered away and dried himself off and kept coaching, you probably lose respect. You can't let a player chuck a water bottle, have it explode and get you all wet and just not say anything. It looks like you're afraid of the player. So I don't mind him getting mad. You know, the whole deal with changing the coat and wiping the hair and all that, and it just kind of, it was a little bit overdone for me. But when something like that happens in a game like that, the coach is going to get mad. And if Taylor, and we didn't have a microphone on the bench, we didn't hear what was said, we're all assuming Taylor chirped back in some way, shape, or form. And then that's what brought on the second round of it. If you're going to chirp at your coach, you're probably going to take a tongue lashing. So, you know, it happened. Dallas got mad. Taylor chirped. Dallas got even more mad. Taylor got benched. And then they've had a couple of meetings and sorted it out. So I don't think that it'll be a problem moving forward. But I'm not going to suggest that Dallas mishandled the player in this instance, because I don't think he can let that slide when something like that happens. It's like, and I mentioned this in my story today, remember back when Tom Rennie pulled the goaltender when they were down a couple of goals and the short, and they got an empty net goal against them, and Taylor was on the ice, and you could see him mouth the words, why are we pulling the flipping goalie? You could see him. We were all amateur lip readers. And that was like, whoa. And we asked Tom about it. Tom played it down. But believe me, behind the scenes, that got dealt with.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with what Akins did. Maybe I guess to me, you think if you're gonna get that frustrated over that, I understand you can't let it go. Maybe at some point you got to get that frustrated with guys over turnovers and other and not bad.
What goes on behind the scenes, though, right? Like, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. I mean, maybe Dallas grabbed a hockey stick and threw it up against the smart board, or maybe Dallas smashed a garbage can. Maybe. We don't know what goes on in the dressing room behind the scenes necessarily. So just because he's not destroying guys on the bench for the whole world to see, his philosophy is kind of to not really do that. He doesn't think that that's really the way to go about his business. So I think if you were to be able to talk to these players completely off the record and say, do you feel guys are held accountable when they make mistakes? I think this coach, they would say yes, as far as this coach goes, way more than they'd say it about the last two coaches.
Okay, I'm not more so talking about the verbal. I'm talking about the fact that he benched him for three or four shifts. How many times has Jeff Peacher, Justin Schultz been benched for four shifts this year?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing is that, and Dallas talked about that today. Should he be sitting guys more often? Well, I mean, Petrie was a healthy scratch earlier this year when his game fell to pieces. Dallas, to me, has shown he's willing to wield a pretty heavy sword at times with guys. So to suggest, should he be benching guys more? I mean, maybe. I mean, you might have a point there that he needs to hit guys harder with ice time in game to send his message. But that being said, you know what? If a player is going to chirp back at you on the bench in front of his teammates and in front of everybody, and again, nobody has said Taylor did. We're all assuming he did the way the video made it look. To me, you chirp at your coach, you're going to get benched. That's just the way hockey goes. Players know it. The coach knows he has to do it. I don't have a problem with it.
The Emmett, what about the game itself, though? Like, let's focus. Like, 8-1 against freaking Calgary after you lose to Buffalo, where the final 40 minutes you got dominated by the 30th place team.
Yeah. Well, again, that's the thing, right? The Oilers, when they're bad, they're so egregiously awful that it's hard to fathom how they can get that bad at times. And they didn't react well to a couple of quick goals. I mean, same thing against Buffalo I think it was the third period there. They don't react well to a couple of goals, bang, bang, and the wheels just come completely off. It's an immature team. It's an immature team with immature traits to it. And, I mean, there's no point in even dissecting it. It was terrible. It was awful. It was embarrassing for them on home ice against the Flames, coming off a loss to the Buffalo Sabres, right? So, I mean, the Oilers have points in 13 of their last 19 games. Not horrendous, but the last two have the venom at an all-time high in this city for this team right now.
Ryan Rashad from TSN. You went to the Old Kings game?
I went to Saturday's game, yes. Just the one game on the weekend.
What did you think of Leon Draisaitl?
You know what? I like him. He's got a nice, big frame on him. Moves around the ice with a lot of confidence. I mean, not great wheels, which I always get a little bit concerned when I watch a guy in junior and think that he doesn't have great wheels, because when you get to the NHL level, then it's even more noticeable. So he moves around decent out there. It's not prohibitive, but that's the one thing is he doesn't have the speed that you'd want him to have. Outside of that, I think he's got a great game, a powerful game, moves the puck with confidence, just like everything about him. I just think it would be, if he moved a little bit faster, I can't imagine how you'd want to take anybody else ahead of him if he were that much faster.
Yeah, you know what? He didn't have a great game on Saturday. He was much better on Sunday.
And, yeah, that's what I heard as well.
Yeah. And you know what? I've talked to a lot of scouts. They think his foot speed's fine. The thing, you just look at his ability. When you have 30 more points than anybody else in your team and you're a 17-year-old, I can't overlook that.
I agree with you. But the foot speed thing, that's the thing, is that everybody said the same thing about Yakupov, that it wasn't lightning fast, but he gets there. His foot speed's fine. Well, now he's trying to generate offense at the NHL level, and at times the top end speed not being there is prohibitive to him generating the kind of offense he's expected to. So it's always a flag for me when you're saying about a guy at the junior level, his skating's just okay. To me, that's a flag. It's not a reason not to draft him. It's not a reason to say he's not a good prospect, but that's one flag for me. When I watch junior guys and high-end prospects, is that if they say the skating is just okay, you're watching them in junior. Yeah, I'm not sure how that'll translate to the next level.
Yeah, I like him a lot. When I look at what the Oilers desperately need, to me, there's him or Ekblad. Those are the obvious two choices.
Oh man, yeah, no question. And Ekblad's a stud. He's everything the Oilers need, and he probably gets it to them right away. Draisaitl, same thing. He's gonna play. He'll be able to play. He's a big, big guy. Looks strong. Got lots of weight behind him. So they can't go wrong with one of those two guys. And it's not like the guys who are rated ahead of him are. I mean, those guys are so different than what the Oilers need. They're more of what the Oilers have already drafted. So to me, it's a two-horse race as far as the guys the Oilers are going to try and get.
Yeah, that's kind of has to be between those two in my mind. It'll be interesting to see 10 games to go, man. Tomorrow's effort by the Oilers. You don't expect them to beat San Jose, but, man, they got to show up.
Yeah, well, they do. They need to show up. They need to give this team a game, because what the Oilers had been doing before last week is they'd been earning some respect around the league. They were one of the better teams in the league over a two-week stretch, and they'd been earning some big-time respect around the league. Well, then you drop a game to Buffalo and get absolutely the tar beaten out of you by Calgary, and it goes back to people saying it's comical what's going on around here. So they can earn some respectability back on Tuesday night, and it's on TSN, so it should be good.
All right, Shogger, drive safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, pal, take care.